Everybody's talking at me.
CRN Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, Tomas at the network, and we're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Today's guest, Glenn Caroline, Second Amendment Foundation, and we're going to talk about gun owners should vote like their rights depend on it, because they do. David Rubin, author of Trump and the Jews, will talk about that violent attack in New York City against the Jews. And in the second hour, Selwyn Duke from The New American, all of his latest, including an open letter to the Christians who don't plan to vote for Trump. All right. Well, let's see here. President Trump and his Democratic rival Joe Biden set to hold dueling campaign rallies in Florida, crucial battleground state vital to winning the White House, with just 5 days left in the presidential race. Candidates will appear in Tampa hours apart today, looking to make last-minute appeals and energize central Florida voters ahead of the November 3rd election. It comes as the economy remains a top issue on the minds of voters, and the Commerce Department released the GDP data today showing the U.S. economy grew at a record-shattering pace in the third quarter as businesses reopened from the coronavirus shutdown. Something Trump is likely to highlight as Biden attacks him over the handling of the pandemic. A USA Today Suffolk poll released yesterday shows Biden with a comfortable 8 percentage point lead nationally. But the race is much tighter in the key swing state candidates need to win to reach the 270 electoral votes. Aggregated polls from the Real Clear Politics show that Trump has pulled within a virtual tie with Biden in Florida, just 1 week after the former vice president held a narrow lead in that state. Trump defeated Hillary Clinton by 1.2 percentage points in the Sunshine State 4 years ago. Florida, with 29 delegates up for grabs, is one of the biggest prizes on Election Day, and if Trump loses the state on Tuesday, his path to reelection would be considerably more difficult. Well, from the John Solomon file, John is always good at whatever he does. Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden has offered short, at times, halting defenses of his son Hunter Biden's business deals in recent weeks after months of ignoring an increasingly clear narrative of a family member pursuing lucrative business deals in the shadows of his vice presidency. Quote, "Not one single solitary thing was out of line," Biden said last Thursday when the questions about his son's business dealings came up at the last presidential debate. "Not a single thing." Quote, "My son has not made money in terms of this thing about what you were talking about, China," Biden said. "I have not had the only guy that made money from China is this guy," he added, and he pointed to Donald Trump. Other times, he and his defenders have rebuffed questions about the family business as a smear job or Russian disinformation. But Biden's campaign hasn't disputed much of the evidence that has become public, instead declaring it does not matter because no crimes have been proven. Investigation by the press during impeachment, and even by two Republican-led Senate committees whose work was decried as not legitimate and political by a GOP colleague, have all reached the same conclusion, that Joe Biden carried out official U.S. policy toward Ukraine and engaged in no wrongdoing. That's what a campaign spokesman said recently. But criminality isn't the only standard by which Americans evaluate their leaders. Judgment, ethics, transparency are also essential attributes. On such, the Biden campaign has yet not explained or confronted these seven uncomfortable realities, which have emerged not from Russia disinformation, but rather from former associates of Hunter Biden and former government subordinates of the vice president. Number one, appearance of conflict of interest. Joe Biden's claim that not one single solitary thing was out of line is contradicted by the facts. Multiple State Department officials, including Biden's former ambassador and deputy chief of mission in Kiev, have testified they believe the vice president created the appearance of a conflict of interest by continuing to oversee anti-corruption policy in Ukraine, while his son served on the board of a company called Burisma Holdings that was under corrupt investigation. The officials also said the Biden family behavior in Ukraine undercut U.S. efforts to fight epidemic corruption in the Ukraine. The concerns were captured in one email written by U.S. Deputy Chief of Mission George Kent, September 26. The presence of Hunter Biden on the Burisma board was very awkward for all U.S. officials pushing an anti-corporation agenda in the Ukraine, he wrote. In separate testimony, Kent revealed he raised his concerns directly with Joe Biden's office, but got rebuffed. Quote, I said that I had learned that Hunter Biden had been appointed to the board of this company, that I just raised U.S. concerns about the owner of the company, who we believe had been engaged in money laundering. That's what Kent told senators earlier this year. And the bottom line, he added, was, I said I believe that this creates a perception of a potential conflict of interest given Vice President's role and its very strong advocacy for anti-cooperation, that should be anti-corruption action, and that I thought that someone needed to talk to Hunter Biden, and he should step down from the board of Burisma. Number two, the U.S. concerns about bribery on Hunter Biden's watch at Burisma. Documents released under the FOIA show U.S. officials twice raised concerns that Burisma made bribery payments to the Ukraine officials in 2015 and 2016 in an effort to get criminal investigations against that firm and its owner shut down. Both allegedly occurred while Hunter Biden served on the board, and at least one instance involving a $7 million bribe payment was reported to the FBI. Joe Biden's claim that he did not discuss his son's business contradicted by public evidence. That's number three. There are at least three instances where there is now public evidence that Joe Biden met with his foreigners his son was courting for business. First occurred 2011 when Obama White House entry log showed several Chinese businessmen involved with Hunter Biden checked in to meet the vice president. The second occurred 2013 when Hunter Biden rode aboard Air Force Two with his father and then introduced the vice president in Beijing to a Chinese businessman that was helping him start an investment fund. The third, alleged in an email purportedly recovered from Hunter Biden's old laptop, indicates that Hunter Biden arranged for an official from Burisma to meet his father April 2015. After some initial denials and efforts to discredit that laptop, the Biden campaign now acknowledges the encounter may have happened, though insists that it was just, what is that word, fleeting. Yes. Did you shoot that person? No, I was just fleeting, I guess. All right. Moving on, let's see. Number four, evidence suggests Joe Biden had a secret stake in the Hunter Biden business world. At least two pieces of evidence have emerged in the last 2 weeks that suggest Hunter Biden believed his father was getting a cut of his business. The first, which remains uncollaborated by Just the News, is an email found on the purported Hunter Biden laptop in which the vice president's son suggests that he share half his income with his father, who's in Florida, right? Yeah. Number five, the videotape confession Joe Biden made about strong-arming Ukraine to fire its chief prosecutor. And the debate over Joe Biden's decision to force the firing of the Ukrainian prosecutor, General Shokin, March 2016, was at the heart of last year's impeachment inquiry. But a year later, while President Trump had been acquitted, the questions about Joe Biden's conduct remain unanswered. It's not in doubt that Biden, as vice president and chief U.S. policymaker for the Ukraine, used the threat of withholding $1 billion in U.S. aid to Kiev in early 2016 to force the country to fire Shokin. All right. Number six, the Democratic firm's relentless pressure on behalf of Hunter Biden's Ukraine gas firm. The portrait of Joe Biden's ouster of the Ukrainian prosecutor is further complicated by a growing body of evidence that Burisma Holdings and its American lobbying shop, the Democratic firm known as Blue Star Strategies, relentlessly pressured senior Obama-Biden state officials in Washington and at the Kiev embassy to help end the corruption investigators plaguing the gas firm. Hunter Biden's role in the company was repeatedly cited by staff officials as the pressure campaign persisted throughout the 2016 election. And Blue Star, an American criminal defense lawyer, successfully settled the Ukraine corruption probe, and that was just days before Donald Trump took office, eliminating the threat of prosecution against Burisma. And let's see, finally, number seven, the national security question. Did flagged suspicious financial transitions comprise and compromise a political family? Well, while much of the attention in Burisma has been on the ethics issues around Hunter Biden making money in the vapor trail of his father's foreign policy jet setting, a bigger question has emerged. Did foreign adversaries in China, Russia, Ukraine try to compromise the Biden family with financial deals and suspicious money? A Senate report last month contained a bombshell revelation that the U.S. Treasury Department flagged many transactions flowing through the accounts of Hunter Biden connected firms as suspicious, including transactions involving a Russian oligarch, Ukrainian oligarch, and Chinese officials tied to the communist government and military. In addition, Hunter Biden tried firms successfully facilitated the sale of a Michigan auto parts manufacturer called Hennings to the Chinese military aircraft maker. And listen to this, even though the company had protected dual-use technology essential to U.S. fighter jets. You get that? That's selling information to the Chinese communist government. The questions raised by the Senate that lingers over all of these revelations is whether U.S. intelligence or the FBI explored the national security implications of these activities, including whether any foreign adversary tried to use the Biden family enterprises to launder money, a common tactic for compromising Americans. And this question became even more pronounced after it was reported last week that a grand jury subpoena that was used by the FBI to seize a purported Hunter Biden laptop listed money laundering as a possible investigative focus. Wow. It gets deeper and deeper. John Solomon, what a great reporter. All right. Let me see here. I want to find one that is going to fit in just about perfectly. Well, I will tell you this. United States Marshal's Office has recovered 45 missing children in Ohio and West Virginia. Attorney General David Yost said the effort, Operation Autumn Hope, just happens to be the largest anti-human trafficking effort in state history. And they had more than 50 agencies involved in that operation that resulted in the rescue of more than 100 human trafficking survivors and led to 179 arrests. Good for you. Hey, hang on, because I have Glenn Caroline, veteran grassroots gun rights supporter and organizer, coming up next. Very serious information and thoughts that you should have when you go out to vote. We'll be right back.
The smartest way for you to get the lowest prices on your plane tickets, domestic or international, is to call SmartFares, first or last, but you've got to call us before you book your plane tickets. Fly anywhere in the world, fly anywhere in the U.S., and SmartFares can save you up to 75% on your plane tickets. We have the lowest airline ticket prices on over 500 airlines, and you've got a great 12-hour free cancellation window. Plus, with our live agent help, you can always get fast help and fast answers. So on your next trip, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, how about right now? Pick up your phone and call SmartFares. Plus, save up to 75% on your plane reservation. So call right now. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644. 800-915-2644.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
Tired of lockdown? Let the reconnect begin. You belong here. Welcome home to the magic of Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante in Fullerton, California. Check out our new spacious outdoor dining al fresco. Romantic. Market lights. It looks like a movie set. Dine under the stars and enjoy our tasty Angelo's and Vinci's pizza, pasta, seafood, chicken, salad dinners, and more. In the cool of the evening, come enjoy our award-winning menu, new wine list, specialty cocktails like our Peach Bellini Martini, appetizers, and more. Angelo's and Vinci's now open every day from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. for relaxing outdoor dining. No reservations needed. Just come on in for delicious Italian food. Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante, 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton. Call 714-879-4022. We're going to need a lot of pasta to get through this year. Come to Angelo's and Vinci's at 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton today.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder here. Let me tell you about a gentleman named Glenn Caroline, veteran grassroots gun rights organizer, and Glenn is the director of the External Affairs for the Second Amendment Foundation and Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. With 29 years of frontline experience in the Second Amendment movement, Caroline spearheads grassroots and training programs for both organizations. And Glenn comes to SAF and CCRKBA after serving for years as managing director of the National Rifle Association's Institute for Legislative Action Grassroots Program and Campaign Field Operations and Citizens Committee, okay, for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms and the Second Amendment Foundation are telling you that, gun owners should vote like their rights depend on it because they do. Hey, sort of a long intro there, Glenn, and I skipped some of it. Sorry about that. But how you doing? Welcome to the show.
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
You know what? Everybody's talking about this election because for some reason it turns out it sounds, and I think it is, maybe one of the biggest elections in the history of America. All the consequences riding on it. And I'm going to ask you a question right off the bat. Why now more than ever do you think it's essential that gun owners take action and vote?
I think the reason for that is the Second Amendment itself is on the ballot this year. Even though you won't see the 27 words on your election ballot, whoever wins the White House, whoever controls Congress, they're going to set the next direction of our Second Amendment history. And there couldn't be two starker different philosophies on how the Second Amendment is viewed between President Trump and Joe Biden.
Hey, real quick, because you're not going to see like you say, you want to vote on the Second Amendment, yes or no. Are there any red flags that voters should look for on ballots? Maybe something they try to conceal?
Well, I just voted yesterday early. I just happened to be at my local recreation center where I work out, and it was early voting there, so I wanted to experience that for myself since I traditionally vote on Election Day. I didn't see any irregularities whatsoever. I saw a pretty robust turnout. I think really what we need to focus on right now, with less than a week to go, is making sure those who love the Second Amendment are aware of candidates' positions on that issue in their area, and then make sure that they take the ultimate step of volunteer activism by going out and vote if they haven't done so already.
Yeah. And by the way, talking about hidden messages, you know, they had a thing out in California here, Safe Act. Watch out for that. Oh, everybody wants to be safe. Yeah, and it basically says, yeah, we can come in and get rid of your guns. What can gun owners expect, in your opinion, from a second term if you get a Trump or a Pence?
I think if we get a second term of President Trump, which all of us are hopeful that we do, we'll see a continuation of him appointing good constitutionalists to the federal judiciary system. The judicial appointments he's made, including the most recent one with Amy Coney Barrett, are going to have positive implications for the Constitution and the Second Amendment for decades to come. I think if we're able to make gains in the House of Representatives and hold the Senate, we could possibly see a national right to carry reciprocity bill pass the Congress and be signed by President Trump. Conversely, if we don't get out and vote and Joe Biden wins, not only will none of that become a reality, but the future of the Second Amendment for lawful gun owners will become a nightmare in this country.
Yeah. Hey, a couple of minutes before we have to take a break here. Speaking of Biden, let's put the slash in there, too. Biden-Harris presidency. That sort of sounds scary for gun owners, I think, right?
It certainly should. You know, as a United States senator, as a candidate herself, Kamala Harris had expressed outright hostility and disdain for law-abiding gun owners, the Second Amendment. She made very clear what her platform was if she was to become elected president. And I can promise you that if the Biden-Harris ticket's elected, President Biden will empower Kamala Harris to run roughshod over the Second Amendment and try to push forth her radical anti-gun agenda that she was advocating for as a United States Senate and a failed presidential candidate herself.
And, you know, I know the Second Amendment Foundation has also talked about Biden's plan, and I think it's called the so-called gun violence. He's going to reduce the so-called gun violence. Pretty good when you're causing a bunch of riots and havoc out in the streets and you want to say, well, we're going to control the gun violence. Hey, real quick, Glenn, we're coming on the bottom of the hour break and then we'll come back for more. The best website is saf.org, right?
That's correct.
Now, if you also want to go to the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms, that's CCRKBA, but is that tied in with the Second Amendment Foundation?
They are somewhat related. The Second Amendment Foundation is a 501c3 tax-exempt organization that focuses on Second Amendment litigation and education, whereas the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms is a little bit more actively involved in educating and activating gun owners for legislative and political activism.
All right. Remember that website, saf.org. And Glenn Caroline is going to be back with more in just a moment.
Ancestry, the global leader in family history and consumer genomics, released results of a survey commissioned to understand how consumers viewed their health risks during the COVID-19 pandemic. According to results, almost half of all Americans and nearly 50% of parents said the COVID-19 pandemic has increased their interest in understanding their possible genetic health risks. Dr. Ron Park, Executive Vice President of Health and DNA at Ancestry.
The COVID-19 pandemic has made clear to many people the importance of taking proactive actions to protect their health and their family's health. The survey shows that this applies to not only concerns specific to COVID-19, but also other health issues, such as genetic risks.
Ancestry Health, launched last year to increase access to personalized preventive health care, will soon be powered by next-generation sequencing, an advanced technology that provides a comprehensive analysis of inherited health risks. Visit ancestry.com/health.
I'm Dave Hull. How'd you like to receive your very own autographed copy of my award-winning book, Hullabaloo, The Life and Misadventures of Me, L.A. radio legend Dave Hull? I'll sign it for you personally at a specially reduced $30 CRN digital talk radio price. All you have to do is call the Dave Hull Group, 760-320-4434. 760-320-4434. We're waiting for your call right now.
Hi, everybody. Michael Horn from CRNDigitalTalk.com. You know, we provide you with the best in talk radio. 8 channels of talk radio, from radio on the left to radio on the right. Sports talk, business talk, religious talk, Spanish talk, you name it, we've got talk radio for you. All at CRNTalk.com. Well, now we bring you video as well as audio. That's right. Watch your favorite shows like the Fred Dreyer program, What's Cooking Today, What's Cooking on Wine, The Lounge, Richard Nixon Live, and so many other shows on video right at our website, crntalk.com. You can also watch us on Roku. Just search CRN Talk and you can watch us on any Roku TV anywhere in the world. Also on Facebook Live. Just go to facebook.com/CRN Talk. Roku, search CRN Talk. facebook.com/CRN Talk. Check us out on Tiki Live and at CRN Talk too. Video for you talk fans, all from CRN Talk.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Enjoy Tiki Live, the best cable alternative choice today, with hundreds of premium live TV programming, including ESPN, CNN, Fox News, Disney, AMC, Bravo, XF, OWN, and CRN Talk. Plus, no contracts and low month-to-month service. Tiki Live, servicing North America, including the Caribbean. To get started, visit TikiLive.com to order hundreds of channels, including CRN Talk, at a fraction of what you're paying today. Visit TikiLive.com. That's TikiLive.com.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder here with my guest, Glenn Caroline. He is Director of External Affairs for the Second Amendment Foundation and Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. Remember that website, SAF, sort of like safe, you know, SAF.org. Now, Glenn, you know, when Donald Trump took office, he made a very important pledge to gun owners. What was that promise, and did he keep it?
He promised our Second Amendment rights would always be protected under the Trump administration. I think he's done a pretty good job at honoring that pledge. As I noted previously, the judicial appointments alone have solidified our position in the courts on the Second Amendment for decades to come. He's pledged that he'll sign a national right to carry reciprocity bill should one make it through his desk. And anybody who's been watching him or his surrogates on the campaign trail know that protection of the Second Amendment is an integral part of his platform and will be so if he's elected to a second term.
You know, and when you compare the two, it's pretty obvious you don't hear Biden talking about, you know, promises, we're not going to come and take your arms. And then you've got Kamala or however you want to say it, you know, actually raising money to get people out that are using guns the wrong way when they get locked up. It's like they're sort of got their everything backwards. You know what I'm saying?
Well, there's no secret about what a Biden-Harris administration will do to the Second Amendment. It encompasses that there's been gun and magazine bans, using taxpayer dollars to so-called buy back lawful property from law-abiding gun owners. Their focus will not be on enforcing existing laws and focusing on criminals. their focus will be on clamping down on lawful gun ownership and constricting the Second Amendment as much as they possibly can. And you can bet that under an administration led by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, the days of us seeing judges nominated to the federal bench who support and respect the Constitution of the United States will just be a footnote in our history.
Yeah, you know, and like they say, the First Amendment, you know, there are so many important things in it, and the founders were so smart to put the Second Amendment right after that one in case something goes wrong with the first one. Speaking of the Constitution, you touched on Amy Barrett a moment ago, and you guys and your organization, as I understand, and it sort of sounds like the FBI, but you actually did a background check on her, and from everything I know, this lady is following the Constitution word for word, and the way the Second Amendment is pointed out, I don't think we're going to have anything to worry about.
We're extremely pleased that Judge Coney Barrett is now Justice Coney Barrett. Her legal credentials are impeccable. She is a scholar. She is a woman of character. And of most importance, when we're looking to a Supreme Court justice, she has a fidelity to the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. So we, with millions and millions of other gun owners and Americans across the country, were thrilled to see that nomination. And even more thrilled that she was approved and she'll be serving on our nation's highest court.
Well, you know, when Donald Trump took office, he made this very important pledge to gun owners. Do you recall what that was?
Well, Donald Trump has been clear that as long as he's president, he's going to respect and adhere to the Second Amendment of the United States Constitution. And we've been very pleased with his first 4 years, and we're all going to be working hard to make sure he gets to expand upon that pledge moving ahead in his second term.
Now, let me take you off course just a little bit here. And I know you didn't ask for this, but the Second Amendment Foundation has been in pretty good hands the last 4 years, almost 4 years, with Donald Trump. But you have to get the word out, right? People have to be informed and have to know exactly how they can, I guess the word would be, use the Second Amendment because it was written for them. If they join the Second Amendment Foundation, I guess is what I'm getting to, can they keep up on the best way for them to make sure that they're doing everything right?
Absolutely. We have a number of mechanisms by which we regularly communicate with our members and our volunteers, whether it's our website, news releases and alerts, our presence on social media, and through a new program we started to establish a few months ago called the Second Amendment First Responders Program, which is for our most active volunteers. In fact, just last night I did a Zoom meeting with about 30 or 40 of our key grasstops activists from across the country to talk about strategies they need to implement in these last 5 or 6 days to make sure that every Second Amendment supporter is aware of the candidates' positions on our gun rights, and then to make sure that they all go out and vote on Election Day if they already haven't banked their vote early.
And so if they want to get information on that, they can go to saf.org. Do you have to be a member to get all the, whatever you'd call it, you know, the information, I guess? You have to be a member to get it, though, right?
A lot of the information is public information for anybody who visits our website or follows us on social media. Most of our first responders tend to be SAF members themselves. But if you're a liberty-loving American who believes in the Second Amendment and wants one-stop shopping where you can learn of threats and opportunities to our Second Amendment rights and what the corresponding actions are you can take, SAF.org is a great place to go.
Hey, that's an early Christmas present. Thank you very much. Hey, Glenn Caroline, I appreciate it, sir. Director of External Affairs for the Second Amendment Foundation and Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms. Appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Right now, I want to go to the one and only David Rubin, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, author of the book Trump and the Jews. And you know, just recently, a family of seven, including four kids, were pepper sprayed by violent rioters on a Sunday while participating in a mobile Jews for Trump rally in New York City. And this was but one of the many attacks by leftist mobs on a huge convoy of cars had rock, eggs, ripping off the American flag from cars, just some of the assault methods they used. And the convoy was part of an Orthodox Jewish show of support for Trump in Brooklyn and Manhattan. But many other Jews joined in as well, as did former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani. Here to discuss that terrible thing that happened is the one and only David Rubin, as I said, former mayor of Shiloh in Israel and author of Trump and the Jews. David, welcome back. How are you?
Well, thank you, Chuck. Good to be back with you.
Well, I kind of hate to hear it again, but what actually happened? That's my words.
Yeah, well, these things seem to be happening more and more. There was a long convoy of cars, and as you know that very often in the age of Corona, and especially in a place like New York where there are a lot of restrictions, so you have to be creative to have a rally. So this was a pro-Trump rally. And it was a long convoy of cars with pro-Trump signs and large American flags, a few smaller Israeli flags, and they were driving through the main thoroughfare in Brooklyn and continuing on into Manhattan on a highway called the Brooklyn-Queens Expressway. They were physically attacked by anti-Trump mobs who were on the side of the road throwing rocks at the cars at several locations along the way. And as you mentioned, they even pepper sprayed a family with four children in one of those cars. Yeah. They stopped those cars. And some of the drivers and passengers were forced to get out. So at that point, they were physically attacked. This happened as they continued on into Manhattan. They were attacked there as well by other mobs. The police were trying to restrain them, but they had received orders from the mayor of New York to just disperse the mobs, not to arrest them. And so they were just attacking.
Boy, I'll tell you, children, you know. And I assume there were windows in the car, David, so they could look in there.
Some of them were smashed.
Yeah, but I mean, the bad guys could look in there, you know, and say, "Oh, look, this one. There's four little children in there. It won't hurt us to let one go by." But nope, I guess not. You know, they have to be mean 100%. You know, if this convoy go ahead.
Yeah, no, Chuck, you have to understand the mentality that we're talking about. You know, a lot of people talk about the anti-Trump people. They identify them as liberals. They are not liberals. A liberal is an open-minded person. You can look it up in a dictionary. Liberal is supposed, by the actual definition of the word, it's an open-minded person. A gay person, you know, if you look it up by the original definition, is a happy person, right? But, sometimes words are changed.
Yeah.
In this semantic game that's played. But the fact is that these people are not liberals. They weren't open-minded people who wanted to just exchange ideas. They're hardcore leftists. They have no respect for those with opposing views or for the law. And I should point out that the mass looting and the rioting that we saw in New York City several months ago was just a reflection of that intolerance and the hatred of America, and by the way, also hatred of Jews.
Yeah, and I'm going to tell you, when I hear these things happening, and when that first happened, David, it's like, you know, you got the mayor of New York City. It's like he's found him a hornet nest, you know, and he's sitting there with a stick just stirring it up and seeing how many of them can fly out, you know. It's so obvious, his hatred. You say it's true that we've seen the intolerance before, but why do you think it's got so much venom towards these families riding in the car? You know, all they're doing is expressing the support for the candidate of their choice. Is it they hate Trump? Or they hate Jews, or is it both? All the above.
Yeah, I'd say it's a combination of the two. You know, and to really understand it, I think it's important to point out what happens to black conservatives. Okay, when a black conservative speaks out in support of President Trump or in support of conservative policies or against late-term abortions or other policies of the far left, when they speak out, they're attacked. They aren't disagreed with. There isn't a dialogue that goes on. The black conservatives are attacked, and that happens also with Jewish conservatives. Here we're talking about a rally of Orthodox Jews, mostly Orthodox Jews, meaning Jews who are more conservative in their views, more conservative in their political, social, and economic views, and are more supportive of the GOP and of this president. And they also happen to be more supportive of Israel than the Jews on the left of the spectrum. So yeah. These Jews happen to be huge Trump supporters, with upwards, according to the latest poll, 85% to 90% of the conservative Jews, the Jews who are on the right side of the spectrum, close to 90% are saying that they are going to vote for or have voted for President Trump. And I should also point out that they are by far the fastest growing part of the Jewish community, which over time may drastically change the Jewish political landscape in America. So unfortunately, the thugs from the hardcore leftist groups like Antifa and Black Lives Matter hate the Jews, and they hate Israel, maybe even more than they hate Trump in America.
Yeah.
But one thing they really hate is the Jews that support Trump and support America.
You know, and listener, I mean, if you're like, the bird on the line, and you're on one side for a while on the other side, this is not like going out, and stealing, a political sign out of somebody's yard. I mean, this is like all of a sudden, it's a beehive. And somebody's, and I'm talking about, that the bad guys are the bees, and I accidentally here comes a Trump supporting van that goes by and it bumps a little bit and it goes crazy. And then President Trump, I guess if you were a Jew hater, he has done so much for, the Jews. As far as I know, and I'm going to ask David right now, we got about a minute before we have to take a break. Is he the first president that has shown this much effort and admiration of the Jewish people, the very first president, or were there others?
Well, there have been a few others, but look, when I started to write my book, Trump and the Jews, I was saying that President Trump is the most pro-Israel president since Harry Truman, which is a big statement. Because Harry Truman had a real heartfelt love for Israel, and he was the first president. He was the first world leader to recognize Israel when it was established as a modern nation. But by the time I finished my book, Trump and the Jews, I was saying that President Trump is the best president for the Israel-United States relationship in American history.
Well, I'll tell you what, and all of these countries, that he's bringing together that you would never have thought, would ever happen. I'll tell you what, we're going to continue more from David Rubin, and boy, I'm telling you, don't forget the name of the book there. It's Trump and the Jews, okay? And I'm going to give you the website and all this good stuff so that you can make sure you can get a copy of the book, and I'll let David give it to you when we come back. And I also always have to mention ShilohIsraelsChildren.org. That was established after he and his 3-year-old son were wounded in a terror attack. And I want you to check it out when you have time. Write it down. Do it when you have time, okay? ShilohIsraelsChildren.org. We're going to be right back with David Rubin.
Tired of lockdown? Let the reconnect begin. You belong here. Welcome home to the magic of Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante in Fullerton, California. Check out our new spacious outdoor dining alfresco. Romantic, market lights. It looks like a movie set. Dine under the stars and enjoy our tasty Angelo's and Vinci's pizza, pasta, seafood, chicken, salad dinners, and more. In the cool of the evening, come enjoy our award-winning menu, new wine list, specialty cocktails, like our Peach Bellini Martini, appetizers, and more. Angelo's and Vinci's now open every day from 4 p.m. to 9 p.m. for relaxing outdoor dining. No reservations needed. Just come on in for delicious Italian food. Angelo's and Vinci's Ristorante, 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton. Call 714-879-4022. We're going to need a lot of pasta to get through this year. Come to Angelo's and Vinci's at 550 North Harbor Boulevard in Fullerton today.
In this time of global uncertainty, you need sound financial information to keep your investments, your future, as safe as possible. The Strategic Financial Intelligence Newsletter, created by John Truman Wolf, number one bestselling author and renowned financial consultant to governments around the world, is your most valuable asset. A monthly goldmine of the vital insight and insider information you need to stay on top. Right now, financial security is critical. That's why, for a limited time, we're dropping our price from $249 annually to just $99. That includes access to the entire Strategic Financial Intelligence Archives, covering everything from precious metals, offshore banking, to cryptocurrencies, and the wildly heralded seminar on the covert agenda that has backed the U.S. dollar for at least 50 years and more. Sign up now at strategicfinancialintelligence.com. That's strategicfinancialintelligence.com.
I'm Eric Early, and I'm running for Congress against Adam Schiff. Congressmen take an oath to protect America from enemies foreign and domestic. For the first time in decades, America is crawling with domestic enemies. They've gone through 20-year indoctrination camps called public schools. They say they're socialists. They are communists and anarchists. They are working relentlessly to turn America into Castro's Cuba and Maduro's Venezuela. To silence us, they call us all racists when they're the ones who are racist. I run for Congress because I love America. Adam Schiff kneels to these enemies, has abandoned our district, and has lied for years about our president, causing us tremendous national harm. We must regain control of our kids' educations, fight the onslaught of those who hate this great country, and keep America the shining city on a hill. I'm Eric Early. I need your vote on November 3rd, and I approve this message.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder, with David Rubin, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, and author of his latest book, Trump and the Jews. Get out a piece of paper and a piece of pencil, because in just a moment I'm going to tell you exactly how you can get a copy of that book. I was talking about all the things, you know, and we were talking about all the things that Trump has done. And speaking of Israel, didn't another Arab country just announced its intent to normalize relations with Israel?
Yes, absolutely. The third Arab country in the past 2 months, Sudan, and they're located right next to Egypt on the northern tip of Africa. They are an Arab country, you have to remember this is all a result of the Trump doctrine in the Middle East. Which is to stand firmly with Israel, to stop pandering to the Palestinians, and to make peace between Israel and its neighbors, the existing countries that are throughout the Middle East. So Trump is succeeding in this, where every recent president has failed. And Jews who care about Israel, not just Jews who care about Israel, but any Americans who care about Israel and appreciate it, are going to want to show the support for President Trump on November 3rd.
You know, David, I don't believe I've ever asked you this, but what is the overall feeling of the people in Israel when it comes to Trump? Would you say it's 80-20, 50-50?
Well, I could just quote the most recent poll, asking who they think would pro-Israel president, and the choices were President Trump, Joe Biden, or don't know. And President Trump got 64%. Joe Biden got 13%, and the remainder said they don't know.
Wow. Surprised
me.
I think
it's pretty clear.
Kind of surprised me that Biden got 13, but, you know.
There are some leftists in Israel as well.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of Arabs who don't necessarily support the state of Israel.
Now, David, don't want to run out of time here. If they want to get a copy of the book, Trump and the Jews, how do they do that?
Well, the best thing is to go to the website, which is David Rubin, R-U-B-I-N, DavidRubinIsrael.com. You got three words there, DavidRubinIsrael.com. And they can find out about any of my books there and, you know, see some neat videos and get more information. And of course, they can get a copy of Trump and the Jews that way.
Uh-huh.
Or they can just go to Amazon and type in the words Trump and the Jews, David Rubin, and they'll have the book in no time.
Ah, fantastic. And this is David's sixth book, I believe.
That's correct.
David Rubin, R-U-B-I-N, Israel, I-S-R-A-E-L.com, DavidRubinIsrael.com. And as we wind down here, please, listener, I want you to go to ShilohIsraelChildren.org and check that out and all the great things that he's doing at that website and that organization. David Rubin, former mayor of Shiloh, Israel. I look forward to our next visit, David. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Chuck. It was good to be with you.
You too, sir. All right, coming up next, the one and only Selwyn Duke from The New American. We'll be right back. Digital Talk Radio, Chuck Wilder here, Tomas at the network. We're live across America and around the world at crntalk.com. Let's see tomorrow's guest, Michael Cutler, The Science of Nazis. Frosty Wooldridge discussing his column, Joe Biden's promise, quote, I will work for amnesty for all undocumented immigrants. Somehow the first guest, Nazis, got into this. Never mind. All right. Hey, without any further delay, I want to go to the one and only Selwyn Duke, who's written for The New American, The Hill Observer, The American Conservative, WorldNet Daily, American Thinker, but remember, The New American. He has also contributed to college textbooks published by Gale Synage Learning, and his website is Selwyn Duke, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke, D-U-K-E, .com. All right. Hey, Selwyn, how are you?
Well, Chuck, I'm doing okay, and you don't have to worry because there's only one person talking at you right now, and that's me. How are you,
Everybody's
Chuck?
Talking at you. Yeah. You like the way I did? You didn't really even catch on. Did you catch on when I gave your website?
Yeah, I think I did. Maybe not. I'm a little slow today.
Okay, yeah. Because, see, I was spelling each word, and when I got to .com, I D-O-T-C-O-M, so you may not be getting all the attributes that people be sending to you.
Did you spell out the dot, though?
I spelled it out, yeah, just one time. I thought, well, might as well be funny once in a while, you know, or attempt to be, whatever. Hey, I got to tell you something. Tucker Carlson pointed it out, and I've talked about it before, but more people hear it when he says it, you know. This is the first time in history that all of the main news affiliates are screening or even blocking the news. I mean, you would never, ever think it would come to that, because normally, you know, the press is always shouting, hey, we're freedom of the press, freedom of the press. We ought to be able to print this. But boy, when you join the I hate Trump wagon train, so to speak, this is unbelievable, because I'm going to tell you, I don't know what the percentage is, but I seriously think it's 60% or more of Americans right now are totally in the dark about all the things that Trump has accomplished.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, absolutely. I thought you were going to talk about Hunter's laptop, Hunter Biden's laptop, when you mentioned the media blackout. But absolutely, it's interesting, Chuck, because just yesterday, in fact, I was at a recreational area, and I got into a conversation with this fellow. And I don't do this too much, get into little debates with people one-on-one in politics anymore, because it's usually fruitless. But anyway, he said he was not a Republican or a Democrat, but he really hated Trump and he wanted him out of office. And so I said to him, because I knew what the response would be, I said, listen, I'm going to give you a chance to win me over. Tell me what actual policies of Trump's you dislike, actual policies. And I knew what was coming, Chuck.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing he mentioned was separating kids from their parents. Okay, so
the cages,
that's
huh?
a nonsense mm-hmm. issue. And I refuted that right away. I mean, I'm not even going to go into it now because I don't think your audience does not know the details. Then he mentioned the 535 kids at the border who allegedly are being kept away from their parents. And I pointed out that actually in 485 of those cases, they've located the parents. They're south of the border, and they don't want their kids back because they paid traffickers to bring them here in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
My point is that the man could not really cite one actual policy of Trump's that was bad or that he didn't like. And this is why I say, Chuck, millions of people hate what they think Trump is. Very few people hate what he actually is. Because if you look at his policies, you will see they're really very moderate, what we would consider moderate, and they have a basis in common sense. Whereas if you look at the Democrats, these are radical, radical people. But the media, of course, don't want you to know that, so they're not talking about it right now. But all of it has been revealed by Democrats in the past. Defunding the police, dismantling ICE, legalizing illegal aliens, putting boys and girls' bathrooms and men and women's sports, I mean, so on and so forth, packing the court, eliminating the Electoral College. This is a radical agenda, socialism. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. You know, and the gentleman you were talking to just sounds like he picked up on the last debate, you know, because they made that a really big deal two or three times, two that I know for a fact, about, you know, the children, those children, maybe three times or four, you know, 500 of them, you know, and catch and release. I like the way Trump said, you know, you don't even know what it means. You know, you have no idea what catch and release is. And Biden should. He's been around for a long time. And I, you know, he said none of them show up, you know, whenever they come in here to file for citizenship, amnesty or whatever. And then you have to come back in 2 or 3 months or 4 months. And you know what? I think the last time I had an expert on talking about it, from Center for Immigration Studies, it was 1%. 1% would show up saying, okay, I'm back here for my hearing to become a citizen. The others just know, God, I hope Joe Biden gets elected. You know, it's that frame of mind. Yeah, then I'll be a citizen if Joe Biden gets elected. It's all, what can I do for you? Free college, free this, free that. Somebody's got to pay for it. I'm sorry I'm kind of deviating away from, you know, excellent stuff here that you have on file.
You can deviate all you want because I'm a deviant, so it matches up.
And now somebody's saying both of them ought to be locked up. Why? That one guy's a deviant. Oh, he is? Yeah. The one that's on the phone? Well, sounds like both of them are. Okay. Who knows what
no,
lurks
I'm not
on
a
radio waves? Yes. You like that one? Who knows what lurks on radio waves? The shadow do? All right. An open letter to Christians who don't plan to vote for Trump. And we hope it's not too late because, you know, a lot of people have already, you know, signed your mailed, you know, voted and mailed and not even mailed, just dropped it in a box. And now you've got a couple of states saying, oh, we're going to need more time after the election already. I knew that was going to happen. Yeah, let's see if we can hold it over till January 20th. that's another story in itself. But you say America stands at a precipice. President Ronald Reagan once warned that freedom is never more than one generation from extinction. And right now I think we're talking about old man Biden and old man Trump. That's the separation right now, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. But one truly is an old man, the other isn't, because Trump is vibrant and Biden is decrepit. Now, it's interesting because Biden said recently, if you vote for Trump, you're a chump. Well, I have to say, if you vote for Biden, your brain is hiding and your morality is sliding.
That's woo.
But anyway,
it went on and
this
on.
Is an open letter written by David.
Yeah, you might say, grab the nearest horse and start riding. Get out of here. I'll just help you out a little bit. Very little, I know.
So David Kapelian wrote this Monday an open letter to Christians who don't plan to vote for Trump, and I expanded upon that. And he pointed out that we're on the cusp of the most significant election since the war between the states. A lot of people have expressed that sentiment. I mean, the fact is that we have two very different choices here. I mean, we have Donald Trump, who represents patriotism and nationalism and secure borders. And like I said a little while ago, just common sense policy. There's nothing he's actually instituting that's radical in any way. And on the other side, we have also what I mentioned earlier. We have this radical agenda represented by the Democrats, more radical than it's ever been, at least overtly. Socialism, defunding the police, dismantling ICE, boys and girls bathrooms, so many other things, packing the Supreme Court, eliminating the Electoral College. They do not like our country. They do not like our founders. They don't like our Constitution. They want to remake this whole nation in their own image, as leftists have always tried to do since the left's French Revolution birth. Mm-hmm. And anyway, Kapelian,
let me throw in there. I didn't hear you say two of them, basically, in your article. Though you're talking about Biden's policies a moment ago. Did you mention baby killing, sex switching, freedom limping, limiting?
Yeah, no, you're right. I'm glad you chimed in there because absolutely, abortion till birth, it's just absolutely unbelievable. And the sex switching, that's the so-called transgender agenda. But as Kapelian points out in his open letter to Christians, he says, despite this stark difference, there are many Christians out there who are saying, they don't know if they can vote for either man because they find them both to be unpalatable. And in particular, he cites this popular evangelical pastor named John Piper. Now, this fellow is quite a following, I understand. And he admits that Biden's policies amount to, quote, baby killing, sex switching, freedom limiting, and socialistic overreach. That's how he puts it. And they're toxic and unchristian, according to him, and he's right. But this fellow Piper, Chuck, also dislikes Trump, even though his policies, as Kapelian puts it, quote, have proven to be overwhelmingly consistent with and supportive of evangelical Christian sensibilities and concerns. And Kapelian continues, Donald Trump is, in fact, widely regarded as the most pro-life president of our lifetime. Likewise, as president, he has been the best friend of Israel in a generation, courageously recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and moving the U.S. embassy there, something many previous presidents of both parties promised but failed to do. And Trump has consistently championed religious freedom and freedom of speech, both under brutal attack by the radical left, which, truth be told, is essentially hostile to Christianity, unquote. Okay, that's absolutely true, Chuck. So what is bothering this Piper fellow? Well, he's, quote, concerned that Trump's personal failings, specifically four things, his unrepentant boastfulness, his vulgarity, his factiousness, and his past sexual immorality are also, like abortion and socialism, deadly, even potentially nation-corrupting. Therefore, he said, he will not vote for either candidate. And I'm quoting Kapelian again. Now, unfortunately here, what we're seeing is true blindness. This person, Piper, is drawing a moral equivalence between the two candidates. Now, one issue here, Chuck, really goes back to what they call first things, theology and philosophy. This fellow Piper appears to subscribe to this idea that in the eyes of God, all sin is exactly the same in every single which way. Well, I'm sorry, that's just not true. I think it was St. Augustine, or it might have been Thomas Aquinas, I'm not sure, but one of them pointed out that there is a hierarchy of sin. And, of course, that's just common sense. I mean, obviously, telling a white lie to save someone's feelings, you know, telling a woman that she's not overweight or doesn't look bad when she asks you is not the same as lying to cheat a widow out of her life savings or lying that leads to someone's death. I mean, there's obviously a hierarchy of sin. And, yes, I'm not going to be a fanboy here for Trump and say that he's perfect in every way. Yes, he shouldn't use vulgarity, and yes, he has certain personality defects. But the reason why I support him is that, again, the difference between the two candidates is like night and day. There's no question about it. And,
you know, and
Christians
and,
should be careful. Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to say, and we are coming up on that break, whenever he talks about, you know, unrepented boastfulness of vulgarity, sexual immorality, to show you what I was at the very first thing I talked about, how the mainstream media is hiding all the stuff that's going on. And I haven't even heard this on Fox, but it's a very reliable thing about the diary of Joe Biden's daughter and taking showers with daddy and all that. You know, you got, you know, maybe it's 50-50. And then whenever you boast about something, my goodness, I boast about it because I'll say, hey, you know what, Selwyn? We got to raise some money for CRN. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a break and then come back to this absolutely fabulous radio program with the best guy in the world, Selwyn Duke, the new American.
And the best
Remember
host.
That.
The best host.
Okay. We'll be right back, I think.
Hill Street Cafe Burbank would like to thank all of you for your continued support. During these difficult times, Hill Street Cafe is remaining open for takeout and delivery service from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. They'll be offering a modified menu to keep prices down and maintain the best quality. The safety of their customers and employees is their top priority, and they're abiding by all CDC and health department regulations. Order via the Hill Street Cafe Chow Now app or on their website, Hill Street Cafe. online.com. You have the option of a curbside pickup. We will bring the food out to your car. You are also able to order for delivery or pickup via the normal food delivery apps like Grubhub, Postmates, Uber Eats, and DoorDash. Hill Street Cafe is here to serve you. Call them at 818-845-0046 or come by to pick up at 3301 North Glen Oaks Boulevard in Burbank, California. Hill Street Cafe, Burbank. Pickup and delivery services are available at 818-845-0046. Or visit them at HillStreetCafeOnline.com.
Imagine this is your money and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. They want your money, and guess what? They can legally take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter that said, hey, you owe us a bunch of cash and we're going to take it from you. So what do? Fight back by letting our team of experts at the Tax Helpline work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws and will fight to save your money. So, if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket.
800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. 800-932-1597. That's 800-932-1597.
The following ad contains shocking material. Listener discretion is advised. Is someone in your family playing a dangerous game of Russian roulette? Over 43,000 people die a year from drug overdose. 120 people a day. 5 people every hour. 1 person every 12 minutes. 88,000 people die every year from alcohol abuse. Over 240 people a day, 10 an hour, one person every 6 minutes. Somebody you know may be next. Learn how to help someone you love get away from the drugs, alcohol, and bad influences. With the FMLA, people can take a leave of absence from their job and still keep it.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-378-3315, 800-378-3315, 800-378-3315. That's 800-378-3315.
Everybody's talking at me.
Chuck Wilder, CRN, with my guest, Selwyn Duke, the New American, discussing the open letter to Christians who don't plan to vote for Trump. By the way, Selwyn Duke, it's selwynduke.com. All right. And go ahead, Selwyn. I had to interrupt you there so we can make $1 billion.
Absolutely, Chuck. You know, Chuck, you're so boastful, I don't think I can be on your show anymore.
Oh, no.
I'm just kidding.
I knew it.
Anyway,
people have called me words to start with a B before, but that's I'll have to write that one down. Boastful. Thank you.
But anyway, you know, what I would suggest to these Christians who don't want to vote for either candidate, like this John Piper, and maybe who just want to sit around and pray instead, and by the way, I'm not putting down prayer. Prayer is very important. We should all be prayerful. But what I would suggest to them is that they should be careful to not be so full of heavenly thoughts that they're of no worldly good. And as Capellian points out, you know, you have to remember, you're not just choosing a president when you vote in a presidential election. You're choosing the individual who's going to select our federal judges, including for the Supreme Court. He's going to select cabinet members and department leaders and ultimately, Chuck, thousands and thousands of bureaucrats. These people are going to run our whole government, and they're going to determine how our nation is going to be 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road. They're going to shape it for our posterity. It's a very, very serious thing. It's not just choosing the president, and you're choosing the vice president as well. And look at the stark contrast you have there. You have on one side Mike Pence, who is a prayerful man, who is a devout Christian, who is the real McCoy. He's a man of virtue. I mean, no one can really dispute that at all. And on the other side, you have Kamala Harris, who certainly is a de facto atheist. I know a little while back she spoke about how she's a person of faith. And I said on Twitter, I said, I'd like to know what that faith is. It's a really serious question.
Well, you know what? I could put a nickel's worth on that one. But, you know, it's a thin line that you walk, you know, whenever you talk about Kamala Harris. I better not go there. Let me put it that way. But it has to do with praying on your knees, okay? There. That's good enough.
Yeah. I mean, I think she has faith in her ability to seek power and claw her way to the top. I think that's where her faith lies. But this is a woman who's expressed anti-Christian bigotry, and she also, Chuck, was rated by nonpartisan GovTrack.us as the Senate's most left-wing member. Now, understand how significant that is. We still have in the Senate Bernie Sanders, the avowed socialist. So if you're the Senate's most left-wing member, you're even to the left of him. And that's a neat trick, I have to say. That's hard to be. And also realize, I would say to these Christians and others, that Joe Biden is suffering from dementia. He will not be president for very long. There's no question about that.
Right.
Kamala Harris will end up being the president. She's the one who you're going to get. So anyway,
hey, let me ask you this real quick. If Kamala Harris, Miss Harris, becomes the president, right? When that happens automatically, let's say Joe kicks a bucket, does Nancy Pelosi automatically stand in line now as second instead of third?
No. Actually, they would just choose another vice president. That's what happens, I believe, yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
okay.
That's what happened in the early 70s. I think it was Spiro Agnew who had to resign. He was Bill Clinton.
Mentally?
I'm sorry, Nixon's vice president.
Mentally or something,
Yeah, and then I think he was replaced by Gerald Ford. So anyway, it would be that kind of situation. But
all right, sorry,
anyhow,
Nancy. Nancy was sitting there breathing heavy. I could hear her all the way, you know, up there in San Francisco or wherever she's hiding right now. Sorry, got 1 minute before the break. Sorry about that, Selwyn. I'm for some reason.
No, that's okay. That's okay.
Interrupted mood today. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. So we don't have much time, but I'll start out with this. You know, and many conservatives now will defend Trump against these character-oriented attacks, but they make a mistake too, Chuck. They will say that they're voting for president and not pastor. And as I pointed out in my article, that's actually the wrong answer, because contrary to the leftist line when they were defending Bill Clinton back in the 1990s, character does and always matters. It's very, very important. I mean, as I point out in my article, sin is corruptive. We should acknowledge that. And insofar as we sin, especially when we do it visibly, Chuck, we do degrade, corrupt the world in some way. Okay? Now, we're probably going to go to the break, so I'll leave it there.
I'll give you the big question there when we come back. Yeah. And you have it right here. What about, I've been asked how I could support Trump, given his sexual history, Mr. Duke. Oh, yeah. Hey, the one and only Selwyn Duke, and it's selwynduke.com, and we're going to be right back. And we got another really good one after this one, so don't go away. It's about the black approval rate. Okay, be right back.
Do you have constipation with belly pain, straining, and bloating that keeps coming back? Take the 5-question gut check to see if it could be more than occasional constipation. It could be irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medication that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess is not a laxative. It works differently. Linzess helps relieve belly pain and lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements.
Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Talk to your doctor about whether Linzess is right for you. Go to Linzess.com to take the 5-question gut check. That's Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
You're experiencing pain, back pain, shoulder, elbow, or hand pain, pain from a sports injury. If so, schedule a visit with Dr. Michael Sheps, the leading expert in laser therapy for pain management. Call 310-873-4422 or go to drsheps.com. Experience Epic T, the breakthrough laser therapy system that Dr. Sheps developed to make you pain-free in less time. Laser therapy is a non-invasive, safe, and effective in-office procedure that penetrates deep into your skin without damaging the tissue. It perfectly targets areas of pain to promote fast, natural healing. Relax your muscles, ease muscle spasms, joint stiffness, and arthritis pain while increasing blood circulation. For over 25 years, Dr. Sheps has helped Olympic athletes and sports enthusiasts alike get back in the game. Schedule your visit with Dr. Sheps at his Brentwood office in California. Call 310-873-4422 or visit drsheps.com. That's drsheps.com, 310-873-4422.
Question: have you ever thought about making an investment in California real estate for the high returns available through trust deeds? As a trusted professional broker, Sun Pacific Mortgage and Real Estate has been helping investors earn high yield returns on safer investments for over 32 years. Their trust deeds earn upwards of 13%. That's right, 13%. They invest in notes starting from $100,000 throughout all of California, where real estate remains strong. If you want to know more about high return investments through available deeds of trust, go to their website at sunpacificmortgage.com. That's sunpacificmortgage.com or call them today at 707-523-2099. 707-523-2099. sunpacificmortgage.com or call them at 707-523-2099.
For the getaway of your dreams, come to Hawaii's Playground.
Ka'anapali Beach Resort on the fun side of Maui, where the world comes to play. Find your spot on Ka'anapali Beach with 3 miles of white sand, 12 resort properties, 2 golf courses, and 2 shopping centers. Enjoy the playground of Hawaii's ancient royalty. Ka'anapali Beach Resort is Hawaii's original master planned destination resort and home of the Hawaii Food and Wine Festival. With views of 2 neighboring islands, you can breathe in the land's natural beauty from your favorite resort or golf fairway. Come experience Ka'anapali's own special brand of Hawaiian hospitality with world-class dining, relaxing resorts, water sports, and activities of every kind. For romantic, family, and great friend getaways, discover the options of Ka'anapali Beach Resort, where the world comes to play. Plan your getaway today. Visit ka'anapaliresort.com. That's K-A-A-N-A-P-A-L-I-Resort.com.
Everybody's talking at me. CRN, Chuck Wilder with Selwyn Duke, the New American. So the question is now, I've been asked how I could support Trump given his sexual history. What is your answer to that, Mr. Duke?
Yeah, well, actually, I was asked that by a particular person who shall remain unknown, but it's a person I'm pretty fond of, and I replied to this individual very, very gently that she, too, in the past had engaged in some sexual behavior that authentic Christians, Orthodox Christians, would consider sinful. But nonetheless, and that's common today, by the way, Chuck, nonetheless, I consider her a good person, and I wouldn't say necessarily that what she did in the past should disqualify her from a given position. So the point is this. I then explained, as Otto von Bismarck said, the famed German leader, he united Germany in 1871, politics is the art of the possible. It's not the art of you get exactly what you want right now, no questions asked. It's the art of the possible. So you have certain choices, and that's it. My ideal president, I said this in my article, would be me. Surprised?
Yeah.
I just talk about being boastful, right? But I'm not going to be president. I'm not on the ballot. Other men I like happen to be Chuck Wilder and Pat Buchanan and Alan Keyes, but they're not going to be president either. We have 2 choices. It's going to be President Donald Trump or it's going to be Joe Biden, and that's it. And it's the art of the possible, and you have to choose wisely. This is very, very important. I mean, this is really a tipping point, what we're seeing now, this election, Chuck. Now, don't get me wrong, and this is the deeper issue that I didn't address in this particular article. The fact that we're at a tipping point means that we didn't tend to what we should have generations ago, because if you're at a tipping point where you're 1 election away from losing your freedom, it means you didn't tend to things when you were 1 generation away or 2 generations away from losing your freedom. But so be it. That's water under the bridge.
Let me ask
the bottom
you,
line,
because,
though,
I was going to say, because I really, really respect your knowledge, et cetera, et cetera. What do you think, if there ever was, and I know it would never be as close as this decision is about, you know, right and left, but was there any other election where it was so hard to pick the person, you think?
Oh, yeah, it doesn't get more stark than this, does it? You know, I don't think we've ever, I'm glad you mentioned that, Chuck, I don't think we've ever had such a difference between candidates. I mean, yes, we've had stark differences in the past, obviously Reagan and Mondale and Reagan and Carter, and you can go on and on and on, Obama and McCain, even though McCain was a rhino. But it's just gotten more stark than ever. And what that reflects, Chuck, is how the divisions in our country have become more profound than ever. The truth is that we're a very, not just divided, but fractured country. And what divides us are fundamental issues. As I've said in the past, I mean, it's not like you say potato and I say potato. It's not like we're disagreeing, you like vanilla and I like chocolate. We're disagreeing over fundamental issues, life, sexuality, sex itself, as in the quality of being male and female, you know, what our country should be. Should it reflect the constitutional republic of our founding fathers' dreams, or should it be some kind of socialist so-called utopia? I mean, these are deep and profound divisions, and this is the problem. And you're not going to bring people together just by singing Kumbaya. because you have to have change in people on a fundamental level so they're actually on the same page on the things that really matter. But yes, you're right. We see this huge difference between the candidates. And when I say between the candidates, understand, look, Joe Biden right now is an empty vessel. He was always a power and money seeker. That's more clear than ever because we know about his business dealings, extracting
money from all sorts of foreign entities.
The problem is, though, that there
is such a large amount of Americans that aren't getting all the pages of this so-called drama because of the mainstream media. I mean, they are silent on this guy. You know, it's I hate Trump from day one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I have very close friends that are totally in the dark because all they watch is, if they get it at all, and sometimes you get it and you don't even want it, CNN, for example, right? And then you watch your local stations, you know, and they're affiliates of ABC or CBS or NBC. And I'm saying, I mean, they are cut out. I believe this is going to be the most dumbed down voters that we've ever had, unless you're, you know, into Fox and One American News and occasionally Newsmax.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Dangerous.
You know,
dangerous.
This harks back to what I said at the opening of the program about that man I encountered who I had that debate with. This man was exposed only to the mainstream media, and he didn't really mean badly, but he was oblivious to what's really going on. And when I would tell him the truth, he would laugh because it sounded so ridiculous to him. It's as if he was living in the Matrix, and I was trying to red pill him. And because of that, I seemed like the weirdo. Like, where is this guy coming from?
Yeah.
He's telling me these things that are so distant from reality in his way of thinking. Yeah,
I have some very good friends that they are stuck on MSNBC. That's all they need. That's what they said. I said, you don't watch Tucker Carlson. You don't watch Fox. You don't watch. Nope. All we need, MSNBC. We get it all the time. And isn't Mad Cow on you? I haven't heard much about her lately, but unless she might not even be there. I call her Mad Cow. Mad Al? Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Mad Cow. Yeah. That's one of her nicknames. Yeah, I mean, Tucker Carlson is mentioned, and he's correct that never before in American history, Chuck, this is unprecedented, have we seen the media act so monolithically to black out a story. And, you know, he played a clip, Tucker Carlson did last night, of some of Hunter Biden's business associates saying to Bob Alinsky, if you reveal this, you're going to bury us. We're going to be finished. And as Carlson pointed out, you know, actually, even though these guys were politically connected and aware, they were pretty naive because even they didn't foresee how the media would completely cover for them. No one could imagine this.
Were they the two guys that were already locked up?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so.
Okay, because there's two of them that were working for Biden, too.
Yeah,
I mean, it's amazing. You know, what is it called? Possible
deniability.
Yeah, wow. I got to learn that one. That's the same as a PD, you know, as in program director. Whoops. Chuck, you better watch it.
Oh, look at that. Now, that's something to think about, huh?
Yeah, really. That's a PD. All right. I'm going to let you wrap this one up, and then I want to get into the end of Biden question mark, because I want to touch on that one's very good. But this one, of course, is excellent. A summation on this one, if you would, please, sir, and I'll try not to interrupt.
Yeah, no. Your interruptions are always well received because you add to the conversation all the time. No,
well, I'm just
also
glad you invited
me
to your radio program. Thank you. Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, I better watch myself, right? I'm getting too big for my britches here.
No.
But
never.
As I also point out in my article, something else you have to consider when you make your choice November 3rd is China. China is a huge, huge threat. If you're a Christian, you may want to take note of the fact that statistically it is the world's most atheistic nation. That's not an exaggeration. It is. And that fact shows because its government has been persecuting Christians and other religious minorities. And this is a nation that kills dissidents and sometimes harvests their organs for money. And this is a nation that also wants to dominate the world, and it's very serious about that. It successfully censors our movies, like I've talked about on your show in the past. It bullies our businesses into doing its bidding. It puts its propaganda in our schools via its Confucius Institutes. China means business. And Trump is the only one who's been putting the screws to China, finally, and fighting back. Biden is absolutely the worst in this regard. He's been taking money from Chinese entities. He's completely compromised. The Chinese appear to have dirt on his son. like those untoward photos. They might have dirt on Joe Biden himself. I wouldn't doubt it. And Joe Biden has been taking up the cudgels for China for decades, getting the most favored nation status, pleading their cause. He said on the campaign trail, oh, come on, China is going to eat our lunch? Get real. They're not competition for us. I mean, this man is just out to lunch, and he's completely compromised. But in this respect, he represents, well, the establishment, because the establishment has been selling us out to China and other foreign entities for a very long time. And if Joe Biden wins, we go back to that status quo. It's business as usual. You better consider that, everyone. It's a very, very serious thing.
You know, and in closing here, you have another very interesting thing that we didn't even get into, and that has to do with if the Dems get in, their plans, like with Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. How many Democrats you think live in Washington, D.C. compared to Republicans? Maybe 90 to 10? I mean, wow.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned that. Thank you. Yeah. What I was saying is that if the Democrats take control, not only will you see all these things, but you're never going to see them reversed, because the Democrats now want to cement their power. And they plan to do that by making Puerto Rico and D.C. states that will give them four more liberal senators in perpetuity. They want to pack the Supreme Court and remake the entire judiciary. And there are many ways to do that. Under the Constitution, you can eliminate every federal court except for the Supreme Court if you want to. So the liberals can eliminate the more originalist courts if they so desire, if they have enough control. They want to continue importing voters via immigration and migration. They want to naturalize illegals, by the way, far more than the 11 million you often hear about, probably more like 20 to 22 million. That's going to give them 12, 15 million votes maybe overnight, and there's no way that you're going to be able to beat them at the ballot box anymore. They talk about eliminating the Electoral College, and they want to make sure that vote fraud and big tech, Chuck, will decide our future elections, and they may decide this one, by the way. So this is very, 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 very serious. It's a serious thing. And, you know, I quote in my article this Twitter respondent under the article about Piper, who put it very well. He was basically making the point that even if you do believe that Biden's and Trump's moral stature is the same, let's say you believe that. I don't. Well, he said, okay, you have choice one, vote for an immoral man who upholds moral policies, or you have choice two, vote for an immoral man who upholds immoral policies. Okay, is that really a hard decision to make? And I conclude with, you know, it must be nice, Chuck, being like this John Piper fellow, you know, righteous enough to exist above it all in the ether. But for those of us who exist on terra firma, we should realize that it's better to have to pray for a fallen leader than for deliverance in a fallen republic.
Wow. Another excellent article, as usual. And this one here, and I apologize because we had such a good conversation going on with that last one. Selwyn Duke, the name of this title of this article is "The End of Biden?" Question mark. Trump black approval soars to near 50% in the poll. And I remember talking to guests on this, and I'm sure you were one of them, Selwyn. And I remember Coach Collins, I think it was, that I used to have on quite a bit, and he kind of retired. And he was a guy that, boy, he knew so much about polls, right? And how you could trust him or not trust him. And I can't remember, but I think that it has always been, you know, that the blacks always had a bigger percentage for that Democratic candidate. And now, for the very first time, and maybe ever, but you would know, if I don't know if it's ever or not, all of a sudden, you know, Trump is getting that black vote. And I don't blame Trump for getting those votes, because he's probably done more for blacks than any president that I know of in the history of the United States. But maybe I'm wrong. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, he's done a lot. There's no doubt about it. You know, the point is this. The Democrats rely on the so-called Rainbow Coalition to win, at least right now. And basically that means that they try to bring all these disparate groups together, disparate, I mean, ethnically and racially and in other respects, too, under their banner. And if they can capture a high percentage of these voting blocks, they can win. And every election, about 67% of Hispanics vote for them, about 70-75% of Jews, although they don't constitute a high percentage of the nation population-wise. In the 2018 midterms, it was 59% of women. They rely on getting 90-plus percent of blacks. On average, they've gotten 91% the last five elections, believe it or not. And am I missing anyone? I don't really think so. But that's the point. Now, if you can cut into that black vote, if a Republican can, let's say, instead of just getting 8 or 9% of that black vote, get 20% of that black vote, well, the thinking is, the common thinking, that the Democrats are in big trouble because that will really make a big dent in their rainbow coalition. And lo and behold, we have been seeing polls now for quite a long time that show that among blacks, Trump's approval rating is actually quite high, extremely high for a Republican. Yeah. And at issue here is a Rasmussen poll. And Rasmussen actually is just about the most reliable of the polling organizations. And this poll showed, talking about last week, that black support for Trump went from 25% on Monday to 46% on Friday. Okay?
Wow.
Now, don't get me wrong. That's an odd evolution there. You know, I don't know how much of
that
is
anomalous.
I mean, was that
something that
even if
Candace,
it's 25%, even if we can go by that, that's staggering. Because, again, if Trump can get 20% of the black vote November 3rd, he very well could win re-election. So it's a very, very significant thing. You wanted to say something, Chuck? I'm sorry.
Well, I wondered, you know, what did he do to make it, you know, bump up like that? Or what did Candace Owens do, you know, or Silk and Milk or whatever they're called? You know, it's something happened there. We are coming up on that break here, Selwyn. Boy, it went by fast today. And I think some people would say, well, you know, there was another president, Chuck. You got to remember Lyndon Johnson. Yeah. Well, you know, I've heard the tapes that Lyndon Johnson made whenever he was doing that Great Society program and everything. And I'll just put it this way. You wouldn't be too happy with it if you happened to be a black person. I guarantee you. All right.
Yeah.
Selwyn Duke, the new American. And the website is Selwyn Duke, S-E-L-W-Y-N, Duke, D-U-K-E.com. And we'll be right back.
Now it's time for Medved's Entertainment Minute.
After a whirlwind Riviera romance in the glamorous 1920s, a young bride comes home to her husband's lavish estate to find it haunted by memories of his much-mourned late wife. Her name was Rebecca, and the latest film version is now available on Netflix.
This is all very new to me. I have no secrets from you.
All marriages have their secrets.
That's the badly miscast Armie Hammer, and his fumbling performance is a major flaw in this new take on a classic novel from 1938 and a Best Picture Alfred Hitchcock production of 1940. Lily James and Kristin Scott Thomas are much better in a great-looking film where the pokey pacing begins to pick up as dark secrets are finally revealed. Rated PG-13 for some sex scenes and references to violence. 2 stars for the new Netflix Rebecca.
This feature brought to you by the Thank Heaven Foundation.
You order a glass of your favorite Cabernet, fresh asparagus, hollandaise on the side, a filet, medium rare. You unfurl your napkin with a flair, close your eyes, and prepare to listen. Ah, there it is. The sweet music you long to hear. The sizzle. The sizzle of a Ruth's Chris steak.
The most magnificent corn-fed prime beef, broiled to perfection at 1,800 degrees. Some call it a sizzle. We call it an anthem.
As the waiter approaches, you think, is this one mine or that one?
Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. Like Ruth always said, life's too short to eat anywhere else.
Make a reservation online at RuthsChris.com or by calling 800-544-0808.
Do you owe back taxes to the IRS? Newsflash, the president has changed the tax laws, and now you may be able to pay the IRS less. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, the tax doctor can help you pay the IRS as little as possible allowed by law. There are new tax laws for business owners, the self-employed, even W-2 workers. If you have a back tax problem or a few years of unfilled returns, new help to save you money is now here. Call right now to see how the new tax laws can help you. Plus, right now, we'll waive the consultation fee and give you a free tax savings report. Attention business owners, the self-employed, and W-2 workers. Make this free call to the tax doctor now and learn how to take advantage of the new tax laws that may help you pay the IRS less.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Everybody's talking at me.
CRN, Chuck Wilder with Selwyn Duke talking about the end of Biden. Trump's black approval soars to 50%, near 50% in the polls. And go ahead, Selwyn, you got it.
Yeah, yeah. So it's very interesting because actually it's not unprecedented for Republicans to capture even the majority of the black vote. It's just unprecedented in modern times, Chuck. As I point out in my article, you know, back when Joe Biden was dancing with some flappers before the stock market crash, actually Herbert Hoover captured the majority of the black vote in 1932. And that was pretty common back then because the Republicans, of course, were the party of Abraham Lincoln and of emancipation, and the Democrats were the party of slavery. But that changed in just 4 years, we understand, because in 1936, FDR captured 71% of the black vote. And this Democrat dominance or control over the black vote was really cemented in the 1960s with Lyndon Johnson. But now some people are theorizing that we might be seeing another realignment. We might be seeing black Americans coming back, at least to some extent, to the Republican Party. Now, I'll have to see that actually in the voting to believe it, because as I point out in my article, in a way, when they talk about this walkaway movement, you know, many liberals, including Jewish people and black people and Hispanics and liberal women, previously liberal women, walking away from the Democrat Party, it's sort of like the Sasquatch. You know, I hear he's roaming around there in California. Mm-hmm. But there are many rumors, but there's precious little evidence. And what I mean is, if you look at the 2018 midterms, you saw all these groups voting for Democrats by the usual margins, unfortunately. Women voted for the Democrats 59-40, blacks by about 90%, Hispanics by about 67%, so on and so forth. But nonetheless, these polls are encouraging. And personally, what I think is going to happen, I do think that Trump is going to get a higher percentage of the black and Hispanic vote than he did in 2016. He only got 8% of the black vote in 2016. I do think he'll do better. Now, whether that means 15% or 12% or 20 or 25, I don't know. And I also don't know whether all of this is going to be enough to overcome big tech manipulation and vote fraud and mainstream media bias. I don't know that. Yeah. But there is that hidden Trump vote that is going to come out. We do have the phenomenon we were talking about, blacks moving toward the Republican Party. So we'll see what's going to happen. We're going to know soon enough, right?
Right. And, you know, in your article, you also mentioned that Van Jones, all right, Barack Obama's green czar. Now, this guy, you know, buddy with Barack Obama, and you say he recently admitted that Trump does not get enough credit for the good stuff that he's done for the black community. And you go back, the mainstream media, they're not going to tell you. So that, I think that's, if Trump loses, that's the main reason, is because, you know, the media, it's the free press is no longer free. Somebody's pulling their string somewhere.
Absolutely. You know, as much as I dislike Van Jones, you've got to give him credit for saying that.
Oh,
he had guts.
Yeah.
Not too many liberals want to admit that now.
I know. Yeah, and I used to say he does a lot of crazy stuff. So, Who knows? And here I am. Here, he's giving us a good news there. And, well, never mind. All right. Selwyn, thank you very much, sir. Look forward to our next one. And check your email because I sent you a good one there, okay?
Okay. Thank you, Chuck, and God bless. Appreciate it.
By the way, listener, the good one has to do with an article that Selwyn wrote, Flip-Flop Fossey Strikes Again, Advocating a Mask Empire Nationwide. All right, thank you very much, Tomas. Thank you for listening, and God bless America.